Father, thank you for your Shabbat, for your Sabbath, for your time of rest, for your time of pulling aside, for your time of coming into your presence. Thank you, Messiah. You said where two or three are gathered, you are in their midst. Ruach HaKodesh, may you be in our midst. May you lead us, guide us, direct us, convict us, teach us. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May we have wisdom for these days ahead. Thank you that you said you would do nothing, but you would reveal it to your servant. As we get ready to enter this fall season of your Moedim, your appointed times, your rehearsals, your looking back and looking forward to the days ahead, may we truly be prepared. We thank you, we bless you, and we pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are in Deuteronomy. And we were talking briefly just as we were starting, and Brother Westy said, oh, maybe we should all move to Montana, with Montana being the only state to say you don't have to be vaccinated. I'm not sure if we're all ready to move to Montana yet, but we should literally be looking, seeking, asking, ready for our second exodus, or for a moving to go where the Spirit will lead us, guide us, whether it be Montana, whether it be into the wilderness, whether it be here, better all be asking and listening and willing, because the Scripture says the days ahead are going to get evil. We cannot see the evil that is already upon us. If we don't see that our government is not for us, as it leaves thousands, by some estimates, 10, 20, up to 40,000 Americans still trapped in Afghanistan. They're saying no one is trapped, and yet you can go to social media and hear phone call after phone call of relatives calling their relatives in the state saying, we're trapped, we need help, please, Mr. President, don't abandon us. People being slaughtered in the streets, beheaded, beat. And we've just given them some of the most powerful and most sophisticated weaponry in the world. What do we think they are going to do with it? Very dangerous time for Israel, as Afghanistan is near and to them, as they already are making overtures to the Turkish government, already talking of the Ottoman Empire of old. Of the weakest government in Israel that they have seen in decades, and the weakest government we have seen in America in decades. We've seen the vaccine just get permanent approval even though it's yet gone through any of the trials that it takes to get permanent approval. It said it did studies and trials, but the only vaccines have been available since last year. So either half of the people who've taken the vaccine didn't get a vaccine and got a placebo, in which case we've literally played roulette with half of the people in America, supposedly, if this vaccine is so good. And your vaccine paper is useless because you have no idea whether you got vaccinated with the vaccine or the placebo, or there was no trial study. Because there hasn't been time enough and people enough to have had a study going on at the same time. So which one is it? Don't expect to get an honest answer anytime soon. We haven't gotten an honest answer about much with this virus. And while I don't believe the vaccine itself is the mark of the beast, I believe it's preparing us for the mark of the beast, because they're already talking about not being able to buy or sell, not being able to go into places. We're already starting to see judges around the country defying the order of the governor, the order of the legislatures, and going, it doesn't matter what you said, that parents have a right with their children. They don't. The schools have the right to mandate what happens to your child. We see hospitals, we see businesses mandating you will get vaccinated or you will no longer work here. New Orleans, you have to have a vaccine passport for all other words, your vaccine proof before you can go into dine, before you can go into the pub, before you can go into the Superdome. New York's rolling out the Excelsior Pass, their version of it. You've got to have it before you can go anywhere. Can't go to Broadway, can't go to shop, can't go anywhere without this pass. You can't buy or sell. Now, if that's not getting close to rolling out the mark of the beast, where people are already choosing for the sake of convenience, for the sake of being part of the system, that they will bow to what only a few years ago we would not have stood for, and are clamoring for it. That now those who are opposing getting a vaccine, opposing having a mandate, are the evil ones, are the selfish ones, are the killers. As am I. It is literally dividing families. We were sitting the other day talking with my mother. She was laughing at those who thought this was leading to the mark of the beast. Misinformation that's out there. The government says 80-90% of the new cases are coming from the unvaccinated. But nurses who are working in the hospitals are going 80-90% of the people getting the Delta variant are vaccinated. So which one is it? There's much misinformation, much confusion. And regardless of what you think about the vaccine, or the passport, or the conditions, The scripture tells me God is not the author of confusion. So it has always been a sign to me when an issue comes and there is a lot of confusion around the issue, I can almost guarantee you it is not of God. The scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When an issue brings more bondage and not more freedom, it should be a clue that perhaps it is not of the truth. But see, then I have to decide, am I going to base my life off of scripture or off of science? Am I going to base my opinion on what this ancient book just written by men or of the political consultants and the psychiatrists, psychologists, sociologists of the day? Am I going to go along to get along? Am I going to be a joiner, a peaceful one? Or am I going to rail against the system because of my belief? Yet they fail to see that they are railing because of their belief, because they have no data to back up what they're saying. They have no studies, no proof. It's just their belief. Their belief is founded on literally nothing. Nothing. They have nothing to prove it. They have no data to show it. They have no experiment. They have no time. It's just what they believe. My belief is based that I believe there is a creator, a supreme being, and that he wants to make himself known, that he came down unto man, and that he so loved the world he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, which is not just a mental assent, but is a trust, an obedience, a life, shall have everlasting life. And that he did not leave us to founder and try to find our own way, but he gave us an instruction manual, a guidebook, a way through, because there is an enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. So I now have a choice. If you are not basing your life on this book, what are you basing your life on? It's a good bet. It's on something from the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Why do I want to sign up for that? Why do I want to follow that? Why would I trust that? Why would I even consider that? We have long been told to consider the source. When we look to get an opinion from someone, if it's an opinion on how I look, I usually ask someone who I like their appearance and the way they dress, the way they keep themselves, the way they maintain themselves. I don't go to the bum on the street who's disheveled, hadn't bathed for 4 weeks, is unkempt, and ask him, hey, how do you think this outfit looks? If I ask someone for a recipe, I go to someone who cooks every day. I don't go to someone who has eaten at McDonald's for the last 8 months straight and ask them for a recipe. Their recipe, the number five, is pretty good. Common sense will tell us the source very much determines the trustworthiness of the information. So where does the information come from? Lester Holt, the most trusted name in news. No. Let me look at Scripture. What does Scripture say? What does Scripture base it on? And if Scripture tells me don't partake of the blood, then something that has been concocted from the blood of an aborted fetus, I might be suspect of. If the Scripture tells me in the end days it'll be like the days of Noah, and I read that in the days of Noah, they were trying to change mankind. The sons of Yah came down and manipulated things because they were trying to make us unhuman, unredeemable. And I see that this vaccine perhaps might change my very DNA. Maybe I should be a little suspect, a little wary, a little cautious. Then when I see that they do not follow their own guidelines, their own system, their own safety measures, it might cause me to pause and wonder. When I see a high number of deaths attributed to this one disease, but the deaths from cold, flu, heart attacks, high blood pressure, diabetes have plummeted in the last 2 years. It should make me wonder, what did we do so great for the cold, the flu, heart attacks, and diabetes that they went down for 2 years and they had not gone down for the last 30 years straight? Or perhaps people are still dying of cold, flu, heart attack, diabetes. And when I take those numbers away from the deaths that were contributed to COVID, all of a sudden it's not quite so much of a pandemic. That should give me pause then to what is the agenda? What is the narrative? What are they trying to sell me? And when it's not based in truth, but it's based in deception, that should give me a good clue of where it came from. I had accidents a few years ago. I cut my fingers on a saw and cut it all the way down to the bone. My boss came to me and he had a brilliant statement. Gerald, I think we need to go to the doctor. I concurred. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to stop. I had already hollered for my son to come get me and go get the boss, because when I saw the bone on my finger, I realized things were past what a Band-Aid was going to help. Though I dislike going to the doctor, rebel against going to the doctor, I was telling him, go get the boss and tell him I need to go to the doctor. When truth is evident, it doesn't have to be shrouded in confusion. It doesn't have to be shrouded in misdirection, misconception. When it is, it should cause us to pause, to look, to wonder, to seek. But we have been so trained not to question, not to study for ourselves, not to look. We have just been conditioned to, oh well, what the majority says must be so. And the scripture says, if possible, in the end days, the very elect would be deceived. We should begin to wake up. We should begin to wonder. We should begin to question. We should begin to prepare to come out of her, my people. Revelation 18:4. That you partake not of her plagues and her sins. And we should be asking, Father, where do each of us need to be? What does each of us need to be doing, need to be preparing, needing to be ready, that we may do as Messiah said, blessed is those that endure to the end. I would assume that means we may need a little endurance for these days ahead. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Yes, sir.
What we've been going through the last 2 years or close to 2 years, I think about it a lot. It seems like mass hypnosis.
Yeah.
They're trying, in other words, the vast majority of the people, just like a herd of cows.
Lemmings. Just right along, right off of the cliff. I mean, we're doing things that make no sense. And we're following a government that has changed more than some people change their underwear. This is not a big deal. Nothing to see here. Trump closed the borders and the Democrats railed against him. He's xenophobic. He's anti-immigrant. How dare he close the borders? For what? And then it was, you know, this is Trump's fault. He didn't close the borders quick enough. This is serious. We've got to shut down all of America. And everybody has to wear a mask for a virus. A microscopic virus. How small is a microscopic virus? How big are the holes in your mask you had on? I mean, literally, is using a fishnet as a mosquito net. It's not going to work. You're going to get bit. The holes are way bigger in a fishnet than a little mosquito is.
It used to be when you went to the doctor and you had a virus, there wasn't anything they could do for it. They just sent you home, drink some juice, and get some rest.
So it's only a bacteria could they do something.
That's correct. You just had to let it run
its course. Had to let it run its course. And it used to be, every show I've seen, MASH, General Hospital, all the doctor shows, the sick person is laying there, the healthy person goes in, and the healthy person puts on a mask, not so they don't get the sick person sick, but so that they don't get him sicker. Or as they're dealing with him, something that's, you know, because they're already in a compromised state. We said if you're sick, put on the mask. Or put on the mask not to get sick. But the doctor knew that little mask wasn't protecting him. It was just to protect
the patient.
The doctor scrubbed up going in, scrubbed up going back, took care of themselves, and knew they were putting themselves in a dangerous position. If it was something that was contagious, they didn't put on a little mask. They put on an entire suit and plugged in an air thing so none of the air even got into it. So then it was, well, you don't need to wear a mask. Okay, now you need to wear a mask. Okay, now you need to wear two masks. What's two masks going to do? Literally, they're the same size hole. You just put two layers on.
Impair your breathing.
Yes. And trap more gunk, which they've shown is done. And then it's no mask. And then it's mask here, but not mask there. Just the fact of what we've done and the ignorance of the messaging, and nobody's questioned why. You had police coming to stores if somebody refused to put on a mask. And even when they said put on a mask, it was supposed to be, if you couldn't wear a mask, you didn't have to. But there was no one who couldn't wear a mask. Supposedly, if you were immunocompromised, if you had trouble breathing, if you couldn't wear a mask, it was okay. Yeah, well, that's what it was. That there was no exemption, even though there were supposed exemptions. Oh, this is just a mandate for those who can. No. In effect, it was a total mandate. You can't go in. It doesn't matter whether you're sick, not sick, been tested, not been tested, vaccinated, not vaccinated. You got to wear a mask to get in. It was American Disabilities Law.
It's the same thing as the Constitution. The ones up above have thrown it out.
And unlawful
search and seizure.
I'm already being found guilty. I'm already being found sick with no proof. Now, I can understand we went to the doctor's place and the lady booked your temperature before you came in. I didn't mind that. Sure, if I'm running a fever, I can understand. That's symptom that something's wrong. We'd rather not see you today. Let's reschedule. They didn't boop your temperature at the door. You gotta wear a mask. Everybody's suspect. Everybody's sick. And that's exactly what it did. It fostered a condition, as Brother Weston was saying, almost hypnotizing people, that everybody's suspect. Everybody's sick. Everybody needs to do this. And now we've bought into that, and it's the next everybody and the next everybody. Where do you draw the line? You don't. They draw the line, and you toe it or you don't. And they have made it conditioned to where now it's those who will and those who won't. And those who won't are being castigated, subjugated, being made evil for those who will. Except for if the vaccine worked, if the mask worked, why do you care whether I'm vaccinated or wear a mask? If you're vaccinated and you have on a mask, you're protected, yes? Either you are or you're not. If you're protected, I'm the only one at risk. I'm the one that's going to get sick because I'm not vaccinated and I'm not masked. And if I get sick and die, well, you can say, hi, it's your own fault. That's what you deserve. It's not going to affect you. You're vaccinated and masked. Unless you're still able to get sick, in which case, then what good is it that you're vaccinated and masked?
But again, we have thrown common sense out of the wind. We have thrown reason out of the door. We have thrown rights out of the door. So now we have police who are spending more time to go see, are you masked? Are you coughing? Are you sneezing? Are you then crime? Of course, we don't want them investigating crime. We want to defund them for that. That's racist anyway. The poor old criminal. Idiocy. Deuteronomy. Then we turned and set out into the wilderness, the way of the Sea of Reeds, and Jah spoke to me, and we went round Mount Seir many days. We feel like that we've gone around and around many days. Jah spoke to me, saying, you've gone around this mountain long enough. Is that not a word? Turn northward. Command the people, saying, you're about to pass over into the border of your brother, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they are afraid of you, so be on your guard. Does it seem that our brethren are afraid of us? Perhaps you should be on your guard. Do not strive with them, for I do not give you any of their land, no, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. What food you buy from them with silver you shall eat, and also what water you buy from them with silver you shall drink. Perhaps that gives us clues. For Yah your Elohim has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He has known your wandering through this great wilderness. These 40 years Yah your Elohim has been with you. You have not lacked any matter. When you pass beyond our brothers, the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir, away from the way of the desert plain, away from Eliath and Itziam Gibir, we turn and pass over by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Yah said to me, do not distress Moab, nor stir yourself up against them in battle, for I do not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the possession of Lot. I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession. The Emites had dwelt there formerly, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. They were also reckoned as Rephaites, or giants, like the Anakim. But the Moabites called them Emites. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their place, as Israel did, to the land of their possession, which Yah gave them. Now rise up and pass over the Wadi Zered. So we passed over the Wadi Zered. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea till we passed over the Wadi Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of battle was commanded, consumed from the midst of the camp, as Yah had sworn to them. And also the hand of Yah was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. Came to be when all the men of battle had finally perished from among the people, then Yah spoke to me, saying, this day you are to pass over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. And when you come near the children of the Ammon, do not distress them nor stir yourself up against them, for I do not give you any of the land of the children of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also reckoned as the land of Rephaites. Rephaites formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim. The people is great and numerous and tall as the Anakim, but Yah destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, as he had done for the descendants of Esau, who dwelt in Seir. When he destroyed the Horites from before them, they displaced them and dwelt in their place, even to this day. And the Awim, who dwelt in villages as far as Zah, the Kephthorim, who came from Kephar, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Arise and set out and pass over the Wadi Arnon, see, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite sovereign of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and stir up yourself against him in battle. Now we see that they came, they passed through the land of Esau. They passed through the land that had been given to Lot's descendants. But if you remember, Sihon said, "Nope, you're not passing. We're coming out and arraying ourselves in battle for you." So Yah did not change his mind. He did not excuse him, but Sihon came and fought against Israel, so he was dispossessed. Also interesting, if you study back the names of some of those, you see again they were giants. A lot of those were mentioned back in Genesis. Shadolamar, thank you.
Charlemagne was the German. Yeah,
came and fought against them and dispossessed them. And you will see that they were, some of the things that are mentioned in legend, when you study what their name meant. And the good thing is that even if this is as the day of Noah, we know that a lot of those things could be destroyed. Because they were before and they can be again. And that Yah will be with us even in these days ahead. Verse 25, "This day I began to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples under all the heavens, who when they hear the report of you shall tremble and shake because of you. Then I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, sovereign of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass over through your land on the highway. I shall go on your highway and turn neither to the right nor to the left. What food you sell me for silver I shall eat, and what water you give me for silver I shall drink. Only let me pass over on foot, as the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites who dwelt in Ar did for me, till I pass over the Jordan to the land Yah our Elohim has given us. But Sihon, sovereign of Heshbon, will not let us pass over, for Yah your Elohim hardened his spirit and strengthened his heart to give him into your hand, as it is this day. And Yah said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you, begin to possess, in order to possess his land. And Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Yahatz. And Yah our Elohim gave him over to us, so we struck him and his sons and all his people. We took all his cities at that time and put the men, women, and little ones of every city under the ban. We left none remaining. Only the livestock we took as plunder for ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we captured, from Orier, which is on the edge of the Wadi Amman, to the city that is by the Wadi. As far as Gilad, there was not one city too high for us. Yahr Elohim gave all to us. Only you did not go near the land of the children of Ammon, anywhere along the Wadi Yabbok, or to the cities of the mountains, or anywhere as Yah our Elohim commanded us. Then we turned and went on the way to Bashan, and Og, sovereign Bashan, came out against us. He did all his people to battle at Edrei. Yah said to me, do not fear him, for I have given him and all the people and his land into your hand. You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, sovereign of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. To Yah Elohim also gave into our hand Og, sovereign of Bashan, with all his people. And we struck him until he had no survivors remaining. We captured all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from them, 60 cities. All the district of Argob, the reign of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many unwalled towns. We put them under the ban, as we did to Sihon, sovereign of Heshbon, putting the men, the women, and the children of every city under the ban. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as booty for ourselves. And at that time we took the land from the land of the two sovereigns of the Amorites that was beyond the Jordan, from the Wadi Arnon to Mount Hermon. Sionians call Hermon Sirion, and the Amorites call it Senir. All the cities of the plain, all of Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Salak and Edrei, cities of the reign of Og of Bashan. For only Og, sovereign of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephites, See, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. Is not in Rabab, the city of the children of Ammon, 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the cubit of a man. And this land which we possessed at that time, from Aurora, which is by the Wadi Arnon, and half the mountains of Gilead and its city, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites, and the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, and the reign of Og, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. All the district of Argob, which is all Bashan, with all Bashan, called the land of the Rephaites. Yair, son of Manasseh, had taken all the district of Argob, as far as the border of the Gusharites and the Maachathites, and called them after his own name, the Bashan of Hawath Yair, to this day. To Machir I gave Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave from Gilead as far as the Wadi Arnon. The middle of the Wadi is the border as far as the Wadi Yabbok, the border of the children of Ammon. And the desert plain with Yarden is the border from Kinnereth as far as the Sea of Arbok, the Salt Sea below the slopes of Pisgah on the east. And I commanded you at that time, saying, Yah, your Elohim has given you this land to possess. All your sons of might pass over armed before your brothers, the children of Israel. Let your wives and your little ones and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, stay in your cities, which I have given you, until Yah has given you rest to your brothers, as to you, and they also possess the land which Yah, your Elohim, has given them beyond the Jordan. Then you shall return each man to his possession, which I have given you, and I command Yahshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that Yah, your Elohim, has done to these two sovereigns. Yah does the same to all the reigns which you are passing over. Do not fear them, for Yah, your Elohim himself, fights for you. We need to believe in these days ahead that Yah, our Elohim, will fight for us. We need to understand that we need to help our brothers, that not just our land to prepare, but where they are, that we are all one people under him. That as Messiah said, who is my brother, who is my mother, who is my sister, those who do the will of the Father. We may feel like Elijah, Lord, I'm the last one. But he said, no, you're not. I have 7,000 that haven't bowed to me. And that Yah is preparing a remnant, a people. And I believe the day is coming soon. Excuse me. Where we're going to begin to see, to need, to come together to help. And where we will see Yah fight for us in miracles and provision, even as they saw in the wilderness. Isaiah 1. The vision of Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, sovereign of Yehuda. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for Yah has spoken. I have reared and brought up children, but they have transgressed against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's crib. Israel does not know. My people have not understood. Alas, sinning nation, a people loaded with crookedness, a seed of evildoers, sons acting corruptly. They have forsaken Yah, they have provoked the set-apart one of Israel. They went backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? You continue in apostasy. All the head is sick, and all the heart faints. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises and open sores, they have not closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your land is laid waste. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is laid waste as overthrown by strangers. You hear that verse? Your land is laid waste, your cities are burned with fire. Did we not see that in the last year? Literally. Strangers devour your land in your presence. Did we not see that along our southern border and in city after city after city? And is laid waste as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless Yah Host had left us a small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yah, your rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Torah of your Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. Of what use to me are your many slaughterings, declare Yah. I have had enough of sinning offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courtyards? Stop bringing futile offerings, incense. It is an abomination to me. New moon, Sabbath, the calling of gatherings. I'm unable to bear unrighteousness in assembly. Is he saying that we should not keep the Sabbath, the new moons, the feasts? Are you saying we should not bring repentance offerings, sin offerings? No, what did he say he was unable to bear? Unrighteousness and assembly. What is unrighteousness? Transgression of the law. Why did you have to bring a sin offering? Transgression of the law. They had gotten to believe it doesn't matter how I live, as long as I bring a sacrifice, I can live however I want to. Now listen to that theology. It doesn't matter how I live, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll bring the required sacrifice and all will be forgiven. I can go right back to my sin, my debauchery. And next time I come, I'll plead the blood of the sacrifice. What did God say?
Detestable.
It was detestable. Now, it was detestable to do that with the blood of bulls and goats. Is it undetestable to do that with his only begotten son's blood? Or is it how much more detestable is it that we have taken the grace of God and squandered it, that we have trampled his blood. That it's our vaccine passport, our sin passport. I can get in because I've got unlimited credit.
What are you getting into?
He said, what are you getting into? Why would I need unlimited credit? Why would I want unlimited credit? But yes, I am glad that nothing can take me from his hand. Yes, I am glad that sin will not separate me because his blood has purchased me. But because his blood has purchased me, because such great cost, would that not constrain me? Does the scripture not say the goodness of God constraineth? Is it not my love for my spouse that constrains me? That makes me want to honor the covenant? I mean, I know I'll get the frying pan and the rolling pin if I don't. But am I more afraid of the frying pan? Am I more constrained because of the love, because of the relationship, because of the years that we've put together, the bond that we have? Yes, my children know that if they disobey, there is a certain punishment waiting for them. But are they just obedient out of fear? Or do they obey most of the time because they know I love them? I have their best interest at heart. That I am trying to provide for the family, for the all of it, to take their cause, but also the cause of all the others, and chart a course that will get us to the desired end, that we will all be better. Or do they just obey because they don't want to be punished? Which one is the true son?
Some of that can be from respect.
Respect, they trust, love.
They respect your
husband. How much more if we see that in our earthly relationship with a flawed father, with flawed spouses, and flawed, and much more with our Heavenly Father, who never errs, who never falls, who never fails? Should I not respond even more? Paul said, because grace abound, should sin abound more? God forbid it. Would that mean, well, what, if I want to, that's fine. If not, that's fine. Or did it mean no? Not just no, but no, no. How true of Solomon when he said nothing is new under the sun. They were doing the same with the same flawed theology. And do we think that theology is not flawed today? When Yah said it was an abomination, did all of a sudden it become unabominable?
No.
Because that's the theology today. In the Old Testament, homosexuality was abominable, but today, it's embraced. Jesus loves you. In the Old Testament, adultery was abominable, but today, well, it's the society we live in, it's signs of the time, it's forgivable. Sure, everything's forgivable. If I murder Wes, Ellie can forgive me, but it ain't gonna bring Wes back.
Well,
but that's a whole other subject. Things are forgivable. It doesn't change the consequences. It doesn't change the action. I can slap my wife and she can forgive me, but there's going to be consequences. I'll never sleep again. Safely. There's going to have to be work done to restore the trust, to restore the relationship, whether she forgives me or not. Can I say with our Father, there may need to be work to restore our relationship when we err, when we walk away, when we do not trust, when we have another God before Him, when we trust and obey something else than what He's told us to choose life, to choose blessing. If we choose curse, might we inherit a curse? If we sow curse, may we reap curse? Yet we think we can sow curse and reap blessing. We can sow death and reap life. Does that make any sense? A seed can only bring forth its own kind. What a man sows, he reaps, and usually more of it. My being hates your new moons and your appointed times. They are trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I do not hear. I mean, God doesn't want us to pray. They made many prayers. And he said if we pray, he would heal our land.
That was
part
of it.
He did not. But that's what we do today. Oh, we have prayer meetings. We have prayer trees. We have prayer lines. We have people who pray 24 hours a day. Do we see our country increasing in morality or decreasing? Do we see Yah's agenda going forth or hostile times? Do we see righteousness being taught in our schools or debauchery? May I say perhaps the prayers aren't working? Perhaps though we've made many prayers, He is not hearing them? Because the verse doesn't say, pray and I will heal your land. It says, humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear and I will heal. How can we turn from our wicked ways if there are no wicked ways, because all our ways have been made straight? His blood has cleansed it all. That's ignorant. You know there's wickedness. Wickedness abounds. Wickedness is rampant. And the scripture says, I only know wickedness, I only know sin because of the law. Torah, it is my teacher. It tells me what's right and wrong. It tells me what's clean and unclean. Can I say it's still just as appropriate today because it still tells me what's clean and unclean? It still tells me what's right and what's wrong. That Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 5 said, "Think not that I came to do away with the law. I did not." Pretty plain. Come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And then he went on, just in case we didn't understand, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but has heaven and earth passed away?"
No.
It says, "Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law." Then he said another verse, in case we didn't understand that. He said, "The one who teaches to break the least of these commandments shall be called least," where?
In the
kingdom of heaven. Now, was that Old Testament?
No.
That's the age to come. The one who teaches to break the least of these commandments shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But the one who teaches and does them shall be called
greatest.
Now, is that not an open book test? You want to be called least, you want to be called greatest. You want to make a passing grade, you want to make a not so good grade. Those are the words in red. Now, you can listen to whatever theology, whatever explanation, whatever twisting of scriptures you want. But if we get to where we don't believe what Jesus said, how can you say you follow Jesus? But I can tell you that Jesus said, "Beware, because in the last days many will come saying, 'Hey, I'm Jesus.' But they will preach another gospel." That's what Jesus said. Go argue with him. So if I see someone who's saying, "Jesus said this," and it doesn't line up with what I read Jesus said, it should give me great pause. And if I read to someone, "This is what Jesus said," and they go, "Uh-uh," that should give me great pause. Like Brother Wes said, where are they going? Who are they serving? Who are they believing in? If I can't even believe the words that he spoke, Jesus gave a parable. Said one day they all came before the king. King started separating. Some he told come in, some he told get out. And they went, "Whoa! Excuse me. I think you put me on the wrong side. Did we not do these great works in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we cast out demons? All in your name." And he went, "Oops, sorry, I was wrong." Nope. Messed up. Must have read the book wrong. Sorry, brother. He said, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, lawlessness, unrighteous, disobedient." You can argue with him or not. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How can I believe him if I don't love him? How can I confess his name if I don't confess his ways? How can I have him living in my heart if every action I do is against every action he told me to do? The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And my mouth speaketh everything that he said not to do. I might want to check and see what's in my heart. Verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I do not hear. Your hands have become filled with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Stop doing evil. Is that hard to understand? Learn to do good, seek right ruling, reprove the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says Yah. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you only believe. If you only confess. If you've been baptized. If you tithe and are on the church roll. If you submit and obey, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yah has spoken. How the steadfast city has become a whore. I have filled it with right rulings, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine is mixed with water, your rulers are stubborn, companion of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and runs after them. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widows reach them. Therefore the master declares, Yah of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I shall be eased of my adversaries, I shall be avenged of my enemies, I shall turn my hand against you, shall refine your dross as with lye, and shall remove all your alloy, and I shall give back your judges as at first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After this you shall be called a city of righteousness, a steadfast city. Zion shall be ransomed with right ruling, and her returning ones with righteousness. That's Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Yah, maker of the heavens and earth. He does not allow your foot to be moved. He who watches over you does not slumber. See, he who is guarding Israel neither slumbers. Excuse me. He who is guarding Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Yah is your guard, Yah is your shade at your right hand. The sun does not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Yah guards you from all evil. He guards your being. Yah guards your going out and your coming in, now and forever. That is my hope. That is our prayer. That is our future. that he is my source. Yeshua told us, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh. Romans 9:33. I speak the truth of Messiah, I do not lie, my conscience also bearing me witness in the set apart spirit, that I have great sadness and continual grief in my heart. For I myself could have wished to be banished from Messiah for the sake of my brothers, my relatives according to the flesh, who are the children of Israel, to whom is the adoption and the esteem and the covenants and the giving of the Torah and the worship and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Messiah according to the flesh, who is over all, Elohim, blessed forever. Amen. Does that sound like he thought Israel was done with?
No.
However, it is not though through the word of Elohim, it is not as though the word of Elohim has failed. That means it hasn't been done away with. It was not void. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Neither are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Yitzhak his seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are reckoned as the seed. For this is the word of promise, at that time I shall come, and Sarah shall have a son, and not only so, but Rivka, having conceived by one, our father Yitzhak, yet before they were born, or had done any good or evil, in order that the purpose of Elohim, according to choice, might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the greater shall serve the lesser. As it has been written, Yaakov I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. For he said to Moshe, I shall favor whom I shall favor. I shall have compassion on whomever I shall have compassion. So then it is not of him who is wishing, nor of him who is running, but of Elohim who shows favor. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this same purpose I have raised you up, to show my power in you, and that my name be declared in all the earth. So then he favors whom he wishes, and he hardens whom he wishes. Then you shall say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his counsel? But who are you, O man, to talk back to Elohim? Shall that which is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have authority over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel of value and the other not to value? And if Elohim, desiring to show wrath, to make his power known with much patience toward the vessels of wrath, prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his esteem on vessels of compassion, which he has prepared beforehand from esteem, even of whom he called, not only us of the Yehudim, but also of the nations. As he said to Hosea 2, I shall call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall be in that place where I was said to them, you are not my people, that there be called sons of the living Elohim. Yahshua cries out in behalf of Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, the remnant shall be saved, for he is bringing a matter to an end. It is cutting it short in righteousness, because Yahshua cut short a matter on the earth. And as Yeshayahu said before, if Yah of hosts had not left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Amorah. What shall we say then? That nations not following after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness of belief. But Israel, falling after the Torah of righteousness, has not arrived at the Torah of righteousness. Why? Because it was not of belief, but as by works of Torah, for they stumbled at the stone of stumbling. And it has been written, see, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, and everyone who is believing on him shall not be put to shame. Can you see that this in Romans came much from what we just read in Isaiah? That you can't separate the two, that Paul is not making a new theology here. He is saying just what Yah said back in Isaiah. Look, Israel missed it. They had gotten to the point where they thought just making the sacrifice paid for their sin. They didn't have to live the Torah. Just do the works that the Torah said to do to take care of sin, and that was good. Go on and live the life the way they wanted to. That was never the purpose. The purpose of sacrifice was that when man transgressed the law, a way had been made. But there was never a sacrifice when man intentionally, repeatedly broke Torah. They were then to be put out of the camp. You were supposed to put sin from the land, not just bring a sacrifice and excuse it. How much more so for those of us who are now grafted in? How much more so now that it's not with the bull, the blood of bull and goats that we enter, but with Messiah's blood? That if we trample it underfoot, if we take it of no esteem, there is no other sacrifice left, Scripture says. Scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Many times we believe the narrative that is spoken, whether in church, in theology, in society, in the things today, because we have a lack of knowledge. The good thing is that can be corrected. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Messiah promised if we knock, he would answer. If we seek, we would find. He has moved literally heaven and earth. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And he said he would not leave us comfortless, but he would send us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to convict the world of sin. That he would do nothing, but he revealed it to his servants. Can we not seek, ask, hear for these days? Will he not guide us? Is his word not a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path? What do we have to do to use our flashlight? Turn it on and... go where it's shining. And if it's shining on the ditch, don't step in. Turn it till it shines on the path and go that way. So what do we have to do in life? Okay, we have to turn on the flashlight. Open it up. See when it says, don't step to the left or the right. Don't add to or take away. But do it. And then we have to do it. Yes, there's forgiveness when I don't, when I mess up, when I err. But that's not supposed to be the norm. That's not supposed to be the majority of the relationship. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, spake as a child, acted like a child. But when I grew up, put childish things aside. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. We are to be changed, though we do not see clearly now from glory to glory. One day we will know as we are known. But until then, Messiah told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Either A, that's possible, or B, he told us to pray a lot. Pray something that can't be done. It's only two choices. And if he's not a liar, or a man that he should lie, then obviously I can see his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do we know there's none of in heaven?
Sin.
What tells us what is sin? Torah. So if I read the Torah and I find out what is sin and I say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what should I want done?
Torah.
Not the sin. And when the scripture tells me this is sin, this is not, I then can choose life. And that's exactly what God told Israel. He put half on a mountain and half on another, and he says, I've set before you today life and death, blessing and curses, obedience, disobedience. This isn't real hard. It's nigh to you. It's even in your mouth to do it. You don't have to have somebody go up to heaven. You don't have somebody get into the depths of the sea. You have to choose. Messiah came that we could choose life and life abundantly. And he sent us the Comforter, the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, his set apart Spirit, the Spirit of Yah, that he can keep us, teach us, lead us, guide us, so that truly I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is he not able to keep us? Is the lure of Hasatan, the pull of Hasatan of this world, greater than the kingdom of God?
No.
Or do I need to put to death the flesh? Do I need to take up my cross daily? Do I need to crucify the flesh? How much more in these days ahead, when truly the enemy is seeking who he can steal, kill, and destroy, when the last days are upon us, when we are commanded to come out and hurt my people. Father, thank you that you have not left us alone, but you have given us your word that is life, that you sent your only begotten, who was the word. It was with God and was God and dwelt among us. That he lived, that he died, that he bought us out of bondage and into your kingdom. Now may we live, may we pray, may we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai. Watch it all.